Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Documented Persecution module. And, you know, I say it, I love all of these modules, but there's something very special about this study that we're going to launch into today, right now, and it has to do with persecution. And initially when I did this particular module, I didn't like the thought of persecution. I actually didn't want to do it because I thought nobody wants to read this. Nobody wants to study it. But as I got into it, I began to see that there is a power, there is a grace that is upon the church that manifests with the power of God and the ability of God when there is persecution. And Jesus said, and you're going to hear it throughout this study, blessed are you when men persecute you. And that blessing is a spiritual empowerment. It comes with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and everything that's needed to cause you to overcome. And so by the time you get to the end of this particular module, you're going to have a new capacity, a new spirit of faith, that you're not going to be bothered by persecution. You're going to realize there is a strength that manifests in the face of persecution. And that's what we have to get our eyes on, get our focus on. And so let me open in a word of prayer and then let's begin this study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the School of Acts. We thank you for your blueprint for the church. We open our hearts and we ask you to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, John 15:18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word I said to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. And I think that's what we have to keep before us, is that Jesus came to die in order to give us life. But in order for us to walk in that life, we also must die. And that's why Jesus said, listen, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to come after me. And so you can't get away from the reality of death in order to bring life. And it's in his life that there is such supernatural ability, grace, provision, everything that is needed. And so this is important that we focus on this. And as we go forward, you're going to see that this early church, they were dying, but in their dying, they were turning the world upside down. Why? The life of Jesus was being manifested. And that's the key. Now, let's go to the preface. I am sure that there were times in Jesus' ministry when he remembered back to Bethlehem, to the vivid reality of Satan's hatred for his life. Now, you need to underline that. Satan hates Jesus. Completely fears him, hates him. There in Jesus' birth town, thousands of little boys were slaughtered at the hands of Herod's government in hopes of destroying him. Jesus was always aware of the hatred the world had for him. In John 15:18, Jesus warned his disciples that it would be the same for them. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus has empowered his church to trample on the works of darkness with such authority. Jesus never gave them power to trample on man. They were commanded to love the world as he did. Persecution comes when men yield or open doors in their thinking to demonic powers which seek to control humanity. In the book of Acts, there are 31 examples of persecution. These persecutions range from religious leaders to government and even from business leaders. As you read through these accounts, stop and think about each one. In doing so, you will discover a strength in Christianity that is more than able to handle the hatred of the devil and wicked men. As you study these references, I pray that the Lord will impart a new fervency into your spirit to strengthen your faith in Christ in these perilous days which we now live. If Christians 2,000 years ago prevailed through such turbulent times, so shall we 2,000 years later. And that's powerful. Let me tell you, when you really think about all that those guys went through, and every apostle of the Lamb, except for John, was martyred for their faith in Christ. And it didn't stop the church. That church continued to move forward through the nations, moving across the globe, and so it was unstoppable. And so you have to decide, I have to decide as we listen and study this, that, hey, I'm a part of the body of Christ that is unstoppable. Because, as they say, hell or high water, you're not stopping the church. And we're just going to move forward. So let's go here. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. This is the first persecution, which I think is crucially important to study here. The first persecution, Acts 4, verse 1 and verse 3. And as they spake to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in jail until the next day, because now it was evening. Note, in this first account of persecution, the apostles felt the aggression of angry men approaching them, and then of hands grabbing them. They had never experienced this while Jesus was with them. Now, Jesus was at the right hand of God, and these disciples were learning to depend on the Holy Spirit the same way Jesus had. The words Jesus had spoken, "I will never leave you or forsake you," must have been rising in their hearts as they were being thrown into a jail cell for the night. Peter and John had experienced such an outpouring of God on the day of Pentecost with signs and wonders, along with thousands of men and women coming into the kingdom of God, and now, sitting in a dirty cell, they are sobered by Jesus' words, "They hated me, and they will hate you." And before we go on, I just want you to think, these men had witnessed such a wonderful healing. The power of God, the mercy of God came down and healed a man. And then they watched the angry faces of these religious leaders approaching them. And you know what? I've had this. I've felt this, where you see anger and hatred in people's eyes as they're coming right at you. That's really the first sense of persecution, the feeling of fear as people full of hatred are targeting on you and they're coming right at you. Well, so let's go to number two, the first command and first threat. So we started with the first persecution, and now we're going to go to the first command and the first threat. Acts 4:18, and they called them, these are the religious leaders, and they commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing on how they might punish them, because they were afraid of the people. The people saw the power of God. They felt the presence of God. They were so touched by the mercy of God. And these religious leaders were angry. I mean, so in this second account of persecution, the religious leaders employ a new tactic in hopes of silencing the church, namely a command backed by threats. The apostles now have experienced the grip of angry hands squeezing their arms, as well as being thrown into a jail cell for the night. Now, on top of it all, they receive a command which is baptized with intimidation. Words that threaten carry a spirit of fear with them. Those words were working in the spirit realm by Satan, who is the spirit of fear. Why? In hopes of crippling the church's accuracy in fulfilling the Great Commission. Satan is doing everything he can to get the church to take a step back. Taking a step back weakens the church and begins to disconnect the church from the outpouring of power that's on the commission to preach the gospel. Very interesting. I mean, as you read this, you need to judge your own life. Have I backed away? Have I been intimidated and quieted myself, didn't speak anymore? Let's go to number three. Second account of assault and jail, Acts 5:18. They laid hands on the apostles, so they're getting touched again, and they put them in the common prison. Note, once again, hands are laid upon the apostles. And let me just stop here. I've had that. In going out with the gospel, I have had people grab me, put their hands on me. And it is not a wonderful feeling, believe me. Continuing here. And they were thrown into jail for a second time. Now, this is the second time. There's a clear frustration growing in the religious community in Jerusalem. Also, up until this time, the religious leaders have only persecuted the apostles, leaving the individual members of the congregation alone. Now, that's an important note to make. It was the leaders that the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, were targeting. They thought if we can stop the leaders, we can stop the movement. Okay? So just kind of study everyone and look at the progression. Okay? Let's go to number four. Jewish religious leaders beat the apostles, Acts 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. Note, in this passage we see the first beating. The apostles' bodies were physically bruised for their love of Christ. Peter and John, at this point, were growing into a deeper appreciation for Jesus and all that he did at the cross. The religious leaders, clearly frustrated, had ramped up their persecution because the apostles were not obeying their commands to stop preaching the name of Jesus, coupled with the call to repentance. The persistence of the apostles while ministering in such tangible power brought great hatred and envy into the ranks of Jerusalem's religious order. Now, I want you to think about this. These guys aren't backing off. And there's definitely a progression. I mean, from the angry looks and then the grabbing and then to jail. And then you go to commands and threats, intimidation, and then back to jail. And these religious leaders are going, you know, we're not stopping these guys. And they're preaching the gospel. They're declaring resurrection. And people are getting healed just like when Jesus was here. They're not stopping him. Well, let's go to number 5, the first perjury, Acts 6, verse 11. Then they bribed men, they gave them money, and said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Note, once again, the religious leaders realized they were not stopping the message of resurrection. In this passage, we see the first account of perjury or bribing with money used. Their goal was simple, a quick trial followed by a community stoning. So now the progression is not just intimidation, threats, jail. They're moving towards death. And so how are they going to do it? A trial. Now a trial. You know, it doesn't feel good to know you're going to court now and you've got to face a judge. Things are progressing here. Let's go to number 6, the first stoning or the first martyr. Acts 7, 58 and 59. And so they cast him out of the city, being Stephen, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Note, in this passage, we see the first murder of a Christian witness. The religious order realized they were not stopping the church, and the only thing they had left was the tool of murder. With this murder, they revealed which God they really served. The glory upon the church brought into the open how wicked Jerusalem's religious hierarchy had become. In Mark 11, verse 14, Jesus cursed the fig tree as a prophetic act of what God was going to do with this dying fig tree of Jewish religion. In AD 70, this religious fig tree withered when Titus leveled Jerusalem and destroyed Herod's temple, scattering these Jews outward to the ends of the earth. You know, these religious leaders really missed their day of visitation. And here they are still working against God, and they had even been warned by Gamaliel, "You could be fighting God here. You better go very, very slow and think about it." Well, they weren't thinking. They weren't praying. They revealed which God they really served. So here we have the first murder. And now all of these apostles, these leaders, they realized, wow, our deacon was just murdered. And you know this had to begin to shake people because now they weren't just targeting the leaders or the apostles. Now they're beginning to go after the congregational members. Why? In hopes of shaking the leaders, okay? Because a lot of times a leader is willing to pay a price, but when you see persecution come upon the people you're serving and loving, and they're not strong, they're weaker in many ways, and you're ministering to them, and all of a sudden you see the hatred come against them, well, that's the tactic. They killed Stephen. How do you like that, Peter? How do you like that, John? And, but it didn't stop them. Didn't stop the church. Because right now, Christians are listening to this teaching. That shows you the power of God that was moving in the earth. And so they had to decide, are we going to stay with the power of God? Or are we going to back down? Well, because you and I are born again, you know the decision that they made. We're going to stay with the power. Number 7, great persecution, jail, torture, and death, Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. He was amening it. And at that time, there was a great persecution. It wasn't a small persecution. This was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Acts 8, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, arresting men and women, and committing them to prison. This is an all-out attack. Acts 26, 10 through 11. Paul declares, which thing I also did at Jerusalem, and as many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, now underline that, they were put to death. Many times we focus on Stephen. Oh, Stephen was martyred. But it wasn't just Stephen. They began to arrest just common men and common women who had faith in Jesus Christ, and they put them to death. They were on an all-out persecution to intimidate the church, to shut it down. Paul continues, he says, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them very often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Can you imagine that? That was Paul. He was putting such torturous pressure on these people and telling them to blaspheme and being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. Note, the key to this passage is found in the word great. With the martyrdom of Stephen came a new wave of aggression against the newborn church. The religious leaders had found what they thought was the model that would ultimately stop the church. Saul, later known as Paul, was a key front man in this wave of unrest. It's important to note that Stephen was not the only one murdered, like we said, during this time of great trial. Many lost their lives, and there was Paul consenting to their deaths. Paul, filled with rage, had become a madman. Though tutored by a great man such as Gamaliel, Paul looked and acted nothing like his teacher, Acts 22, verse 3. Gamaliel loved God and was slow to act, one who showed great wisdom. Most likely, Satan knew that there was something special about Paul and feared him. Therefore, he was trying to gain control over Paul's calling. As you read through the life and writings of Paul, it doesn't take long to realize his deep love for the church. I imagine he never forgot the faces of those who died during this great persecution that he had helped lead. Paul, I think, to his dying day, remembered those faces. And just wonderful people that loved Jesus, and they were put to death for their faith. And but you know what? Didn't stop anything. And so we're going to pause, and we're going to pick up with number 8 in our next session, because that's enough for now. What you need to do is go back over these and just go slow. And because already there's an impartation of overcoming strength being put into you as you look at what these people went through and they chose not to stop. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we receive that strength of God right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that on this rock, you're building your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So bless my friends in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.